Good morning and Merry Christmas. I heard on the radio earlier this week that these days between Christmas and New Year's Eve, some, if not most people, really have no idea what day of the week it is. So I appreciate you all proving the radio host wrong and being here on this freezing Sunday. The lesson today in the Gospel of Luke is one that is not found in any of the other Gospels. It shares moments in the early life of Jesus, before his ministry, really when he was only 40 days old. And although it depicts Jesus as a baby, a rare scene, it's not given the same attention and grandeur as the nativity scene, which is illustrated through figurines you might have at home, statues, or energetic pageants like the one we had here last week. This moment in the Gospel of Luke, although it concludes with celebration and praise, first brings us into a temple where there are no shepherds, no angels or kings, but a man, a woman, a child, and two elderly people in waiting. The celebration in this gospel reading is prolonged by patience and longing as Simeon and Anna wait for God to act. Simeon is described as a righteous and devout man, a man who had the Holy Spirit resting on him and was promised that he would see the Lord's Messiah before he died. He was a man who was living in waiting, in pause, waiting for the consolation, the comfort of Israel. Then there was Anna, the prophet. She's predominantly described in the gospel in relation to her father, Phanuel, and her tribe, Asher. A woman who worshiped at the temple in constant fasting and prayer, waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The author of the Gospel of Luke demonstrates in this scene such diversity. Simeon and Anna, one waiting for consolation, and the other redemption. Different in gender, different hopes, different experiences, and probably differences in multitudes of other capacities. But they are unified by their act of waiting. They're waiting for God to act in their lives, in the lives of others, is what is constant and unifying in the face of all of their other realities. But this gospel reading comes at the end of Simeon and Anna's wait. They have already gone through the long haul. Their wait is over in the scene that we hear today. But I cannot begin to imagine how long or how difficult the wait was before the joy they proclaimed at the end of this gospel. Simeon waiting for the Messiah, and in waiting for this, waiting for his own death. For it was revealed that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And interestingly enough, many of the commentaries I read said that Simeon never left the temple and didn't say too much about Anna. But really, the gospel text explicitly proclaims that it was Anna who never left the temple. And in being a woman, she wouldn't have even had access to all of it. The two of them, different as can be, waiting for God to act as their lives were revolved around the hope that God really would act and that their waiting really would be a prelude to celebration and praise. Like Simeon and Anna, we too can wait for God to act. I remember as a teenager, I used to lie in bed Sunday morning and think to myself, okay, God, if you really want me to go to church, give me a sign, anything right now, and I promise I will go. One time I sneezed and really freaked myself out. And I thought to myself, I talked to God and said, okay, one more sign, just so I know you're really talking to me. As individuals, we can be waiting for God to act in many areas of our lives. We might wait for little signs of encouragement like I did, or perhaps something bigger. We might wait for God to pull us or a loved one out of sadness or loss or pain, out of empty cycles that never seem to end. times where we just need an intervention, a change. We wait for God to act. Perhaps we have questions or situations that we just crave answers or understandings to. We want God to act and show us the plan, or just show us that God is present, there with us in the hard times, in hopes that this might make things a little bit easier. We wait for God to act. Or perhaps we wait for God to act so we can tell all those who doubt, see, it's true. God is good and great and present. I knew it and I told you. Or perhaps you wait for God to act for an entirely different reason. As a community in the church, the season of Advent we just experienced is rooted in waiting. Waiting for the birth of Christ. And every Sunday, we would wait to see individuals or families carry up the light of Christ into the chancel, waiting for all four candles to be lit, announcing the birth of Christ and the momentous end to our waiting. In a community, we waited in Advent, and we really are always in waiting, always in Advent, as we look for the coming of the King again in glory. But waiting is hard. Especially in a culture like ours, when information is so quickly at our fingertips, when we can communicate with someone across the world instantaneously through a text or an email or a phone call. And waiting can be particularly hard for my generation when a frozen or delayed phone or computer really seems like the end of the world sometimes. I recently wrote an article in The Gathering, which, by the way, is the grandest parish newsletter I've ever seen. But the article was about my own hardships in waiting. My time here at Redeemer started in September, and I've been involved in parish life here for about 8 to 10 hours per week since then. But in a bustling parish like this, that's not a lot of time. And at times I was frustrated. I wanted to do, I wanted to act, demonstrate my leadership, my faithfulness, my abilities. Because honestly, it seemed so much easier than to watch, than to be patient, and to wait. The resolve, the grace in this gospel reading today, is that during Simeon and Anna's waiting, God acted in the birth of God's son, Jesus. Simeon and Anna may have waited in frustration, in calming patience, or in a mixture of the two. But their wait has come to an end in this gospel scene as they see Jesus in the temple, and they know that God has acted, bringing consolation, redemption, and hope to those around them. Simeon taking Jesus in his arms and praising God with the words of what we today call the Nunc Dimittis, words that proclaim the hope and the act of salvation and consolation God has given. Anna, too, ends her wait as she comes and sees Jesus and praises God, speaking about this child who God has given for redemption. Simeon and Anna are no longer waiting in this gospel passage because 2,000 years ago, God acted in the birth of Jesus. 2,000 years later, we recognize the season of Advent, the birth of Christ, and this presentation in the temple with the waiting of Simeon and Anna, because God's act in the birth of Jesus did not just mean something then. It continues to mean something today. Paul Scott Wilson writes that Simeon and Anna anticipate the difference Jesus brings with his birth. And even today, this act of God in Christ must be about doing something different in the world today. Yes, we continue to wait. Continue in the church seasons of waiting, at times continuing to wait for God to act in our own lives, both in the empty moments and the fulfilling ones. And as a church, we continue to wait for the coming of Christ again, not knowing when it will end, and not always waiting in patience and ease. But the birth of Christ, God's action in the world, continues to call us towards this waiting. This trust and hope in God's consoling and redemptive presence in our lives, because we already know this wonderful gift that God has given. In Christ, the world was called to change, to question systems of inequality, to call to questions the decisions we make and the steps we take to be people of compassion, of love, and of God. In Christ, God has given hope to people who have waited for a lifetime. Simeon and Anna waited, but they did not wait in silence. They waited with the hope for God at the center of their lives. Simeon is described as righteous and devout, and Anna, a woman who worshiped with everything she had in her. They did not wait for God to act in order to start action themselves. They were righteous, they were devout, they gave praise because of the faith they already had within them before God had acted in the temple that day. My time at Redeemer has taught me so much, and I'm so grateful to all of you. These past 4 months, I've been able to witness how a church in the middle of the heart of Toronto makes itself relevant and operates to help the community with faith and Christ as their foundation. I have learned about team ministry as I had the honor of listening to different members of the staff, the congregational leadership team, and my student peers share their stories and experiences. And I have seen completely different styles of worship in all of your services, and seen how they call to different people and different parts of the individual. And I've been invited into a dialogue of faith with all of you, where my supervisor, who's not too bad, has taught me that it's not always about sharing the most facts or controlling the conversation in a way that makes me feel comfortable, but watching and waiting are just as important and meaningful characteristics of leadership in ministry. We may be called to be people in waiting during our lives, but that waiting is not idle time, time of complacency and time of loitering. It is a time where we are called to be the faithful and righteous people God has created all of us to be. We are invited not to twiddle our thumbs, but to proclaim the faith and the God you already know and the God you get to know in your ongoing relationship through scripture, prayer, and through trust in the actions that have happened 2,000 years ago, actions that take place in this parish and community, and actions that are yet to come. Amen.